Hi, this is Mike.
And Nathan.
And this is the Third Option Podcast.
This podcast is for individuals who are seeking biblical truth in a noisy, chaotic world of opinions and points of view. Every day, we hear politicians, pastors, coworkers, family members, neighbors, and the internet tell us how we should think and what to believe.
Our goal is to give you a third option based of the ancient truths of the Bible. Welcome to this week's podcast.
All right, so we're back with another episode of The Third Option, and we're going to jump into a topic that is pretty prevalent.
Yep.
Or at least I hear it is. But it's about kind of self-image and the need to first love oneself in order to, like, love others. And so the idea is that you kind of get yourself right, you know, yourself, I guess, I don't know, self-worth right. And then once you're up to whatever, you know, that's supposed to be of enough self-worth, then you are now ready to start loving other people.
It's pretty much the topic of every self-help book out there.
Okay, yeah, I could see that.
At this point. So
self-help.
The secular world believes we need to be our best self first.
That's true, yep.
Mm-hmm. And before we could even care about anybody else. Yeah. And the church sometimes believes this, too, depending on, I guess, who we're listening to.
Yeah.
There's a common theme, and it kind of starts off with this verse, and everybody knows this verse, probably one of the most popular verses in the Bible. And we're going to take it out of Mark 12, 30 through 31. And it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." So we got to love God first. Everybody can agree on that.
Yep.
It's all about loving God. But then the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There is no commandment greater than these. So we have to, according to some people and some pastors and some thinkers, you have to be able to love yourself first before you can love your neighbor.
Yeah. Even though it's last in the list, but okay.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> We still have to love ourselves first.
Yep.
So my personal problem with loving myself is it's kind of a natural thing to love myself.
Oh, big surprise. Let's see.
I think it's kind of unconditional because the moment you stop caring for yourself, you're going to die.
Yeah.
I mean,
it seems pretty natural.
Right. It's very natural. I feed myself. I take showers. I sleep at night.
Yeah.
I brush my teeth, work out. You know, I wear clothes to protect my body from the cold, the sun.
Yeah.
I defend myself from attacks, you know, from ideas. And, you know, really, you're pretty selfish thinking about yourself every moment of your life.
Yeah.
I don't really know if there's a need for me to really focus on loving myself because that's the thing we do constantly, like every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I kind of think, before we kind of jump into this, I kind of think there's just a beginning confusion as to, like, what I feel like ideas are getting mixed here when this comes up because they're really talking more about, like, self-worth. You know, then really, like, what's being talked about in the scripture about, you know, loving is more of a verb. But, because even when you're feeling, like, down and stuff, you're thinking about, like, yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, your mind is constantly on yourself unless you, you know, practice not thinking that way, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's even in the down times, you're still thinking about yourself and how you're feeling. And I think there's just a confusion there. But, you know, this confusion does bring in some bad you know, teaching.
Yeah. And that's really, and we aren't saying you shouldn't take care of yourself.
Yeah.
That's not at all. Yeah. Because don't, you could come back and say, well, so you're saying you should just not care about you? You should just let yourself die and then take care of everybody? No, that's that's not what we're trying to say. We're trying to point out, like, you don't want to get mixed up with this idea, like, if you love your, you need to, like, because you can spend your whole life trying to get this idea of loving yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Without ever actually obeying the commandment of loving your neighbor or loving God, because you're so focused on you.
Because you're associating it with feeling down.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to feel down at times throughout the rest of your life. Yeah. Like, because what essentially that locks you in is to never, you never fully love yourself.
Yeah.
And then you definitely never love anybody else. I mean, that's sort of the trap of this teaching, this idea.
Yeah.
And that's not really what's being said here about love or anything. It has nothing to do with the whole self-worth. So,
and if you've never heard, like, a pastor say this and you're thinking, well, that's not real. Nobody in the church really believes, like, anybody's ever said you need to love yourself before you love your neighbor. Well, in the popular Christian speaking circles, we're going to show you right here. Mm-hmm. We aren't going to name the pastor. However, we're going to share a clip from one of his messages. And we're going to kind of do it in pieces and talk a little bit about what he says.
Yeah.
He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I've always known that that was a command, but it's also just an observation.
So, just an observation.
Just an observation, guys.
So,
it's not really a command. Don't worry about it.
So, so he reads off the command, and then he goes into his observation.
Yeah.
And, like, as soon as pastors or something start saying these words, like, this is my observation or what I kind of see here is this, and this means that, like, a tangent is about to happen or their opinion is about to be said, and basically we're starting to stray from scripture is about what's going to happen next.
Well, and I think what these and this pastor, what he's doing, it's not like he's doing a bad thing. He's trying to encourage people who are down on life. He's just not doing a scriptural thing.
Yeah, the scripture does not, you know, support what he's about to say.
Yeah, so he's definitely trying to encourage people who are really struggling in life. And this is the kind of preaching that does work with that. Like, if you're having a hard time and life seems like it sucks, this kind of preaching does make you feel good. It makes you feel like you're special, you're important, and that, you know, God does love you, and regardless to the struggles and the crappy life you have, this just makes you feel better about that. But it doesn't call you to action to change. It just calls you to feel okay with who you are. So we'll continue.
He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I've always known that that was a command, but it's also just an observation. That the way you love your neighbor is the way you love yourself.
So, the way you love your neighbor is the way you love yourself. A couple things, you know, that are kind of wrong about this is that, yes, it is true. It says, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. But it's starting off assuming that you
already love yourself.
Love yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that assumption means that you are showing, like, favoritism to yourself. You show priority to yourself. This is the idea that's associated with this word love. And this is very true. We show ourselves priority. You know, even, again, if I'm saying, man, I'm feeling real down about everything, you are inward looking, right? You are giving priority to yourself and how you're feeling and whatnot's going on. You know, like you're talking about food and stuff like that. When people are really hungry, they often give priority to themselves.
Right.
You know, this is a natural instinct, that all people, you know, generally share. And so it's not like this is, something you have to develop.
No, right.
You know, it's this command stated because God knows that people already do you know, value themselves.
Right.
That they already do see themselves as more important than their neighbor. And also, on top of that, Jesus often, you know, will take these commands from the Old Testament, but he'll take them further. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus will also say, hey, you want to know what it looks like to love somebody else? You're to love them as I loved you. Hmm. Okay, well, that's the standard we are to love as Christians. So, yeah, love your neighbor as yourself, but it's even more than that.
Right.
As Christians, it's love your neighbor as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you.
Yeah.
So do you have a sacrificial love, right? It's not even just showing somebody, you know, some priority or importance or whatever. Yeah. It's do you love others, you know, sacrificially?
Yeah, it reminds me when we were reading in one of the podcasts we did, we talked about in the early church, there was a group of people, because people were starving, they began to fast on a daily basis to give away their food to the starving people.
Yeah.
Now, that's normally you love yourself, you feed yourself.
Yeah.
But they've decided to love their neighbor as mm-hmm. themselves. As yeah. in, they normally, because they want food, mm-hmm. they desire food, yeah. they're going to struggle yeah. to help their neighbor.
Yeah. And again, like you said, they struggled, right? Yeah. They aren't being very loving to themselves, yeah. right? You could make that argument.
Yes.
Easily. And I imagine they were feeling very tired. I imagine they weren't feeling the best, right?
Yeah.
Fasting and not eating for
a
given period of time. But again, they're keeping with what the commands mean. And this idea that you got to first love yourself does not keep. And I mean, how does that make sense with what Christ was saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you're to love others as he. I mean, he gave himself up.
Yeah.
You know, to die.
He hated himself, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really hated himself, definitely. Yeah.
And that would go with the biblical view, you know, like of hate. That's yeah. also, you know, that you don't, you know, see yourself as less and the other as more.
Right.
You know. Yep, definitely.
If you haven't received God's acceptance of you, you won't be able to accept anybody else as they are because you don't even love yourself. And so a lot of times it starts there. It starts with saying, God, I can't go into these relationships anymore half empty and needing people. Sometimes I'm so needy. I was asking God the other day to help me not be so hard on others. And God said, well, first you're going to have to not be so hard on you.
Yeah.
Don't be hard on yourself.
Don't be hard on yourself.
You're fine. You're fine.
Yeah, you're being too hard on yourself.
Yeah. So he's going to keep talking about, like, you know, once you get yourself right, then love's going to flow from you to here, to there, to everywhere. And he keeps talking about, like, that's what needs to first happen, is once you're loving yourself enough, then you can pour out that love to everybody else. And, you know, that's just not biblical. What's told to us is that Christ living in us, right? God taking all of us through God, we're going to be able to love others, right?
Yeah.
You know, this love comes from God, doesn't come from within ourselves, right?
Yeah.
That's a secular belief, is that, you know, it comes from humanism, that man, right, can mm-hmm. be able to accomplish these things. And as Christians, we know that that's not true, and that we need God. And through Christ, this can happen. We can love others, you know, in a sacrificial sense, but it's not of our own will and determination. It's got to flow from God.
Yeah. And we got to be careful with tying in with the secular worldview, because if you think they have no God,
yeah.
so the only God they have is self.
Yeah. And so they got to come up with something.
So yeah, they got to make sure self is the greatest they can be. That's the only thing they have.
Mm-hmm.
So this short period of time on this world is mm-hmm. all they're living for.
Yep.
So they're going to tell you it's important to take care of self and make self mm-hmm. the greatest thing possible.
Yeah.
That's why Christians can't hold this view.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go through scripture. When I was my first church experience, I was taught that I needed to love the man in the mirror before I loved others.
Yeah.
So it was pretty common, like to the point where it was almost like a saying, like, you need to look that person in the mirror and say, that person is amazing. That person is great.
They're the best.
You need to speak words of affirmation to that person in the mirror. And you know what? That might be make you feel good in the morning, I guess. Yeah. But ultimately, it's like you're putting yourself false hope into a false person. You're putting your hope in yourself,
yeah,
which is gonna fail.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna fail. That reminds me of that Michael Jackson song.
Woo! I don't know which one.
Man in the Mirror.
Oh, okay.
Maybe somebody will know.
Dude, I should know that.
Yeah.
Dude, Mikey's so in trouble. Dude, he's in a lot of trouble.
Oh, okay,
the documentary just came out.
Oh, you're talking about Michael Jackson?
Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, but I hadn't heard about it.
Okay, yeah, there's a new documentary out, and he's in a lot of trouble, even though he's dead.
Well, okay.
Or they say he's dead.
Yeah.
You know.
Conspiracies.
Yeah. He's alive.
YouTube conspiracy.
That's right.
Yeah. Look Flat Earth and who flat, knows yeah, what else.
Lizard people Michael Jackson is alive.
Oh, man. probably lost all our flat earth
so listeners. Now we've said like scripture has a different point of view on this, and now we get to go through all that, and there really is a lot on really what it means,
oh yeah,
where this love's supposed to go for others versus ourselves.
Yep.
And really it paints a picture that's really awesome in my mind, like of what this means.
Yeah, and again, if love yourself was a biblical teaching, we should be able to find it somewhere. It shouldn't be, well, if you reverse this verse, right, you change where the pronouns are there, then, you know, then this is what it means.
Yeah.
Well, we should be able to find a verse that says you need to love yourself before you can love others, right? If that was a scriptural thing. If we're saying, no, you need to sacrificially love other people, then we'll see if that's in there. And we're going to go to John chapter 15, verse 13. Jesus gives the command, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus defines as love, right?
Yep.
And he's telling his disciples, this is the love that you're going to have. Now, we obviously see this. This is crazy standard of love, which a lot of things taught in the Bible are crazy standards. And again, this is only accomplishable through God working in your life. But nonetheless, this is the biblical view of love. It's an action, for one thing. It's not just, it doesn't have to do with some sort of feeling, you know, being expressed here. This is an action type love being talked about, verb. And so it's saying that someone lays down his life for his friends. That's love.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yep.
Biggest standard as it gets. I mean, doesn't have anything to do with looking at
yourself. But I'm going to take a second and love myself first before I can love my friends.
But the whole point is you're laying down your life.
That's right, for your friends.
I mean, that is the denial of you.
That's
you know, for other people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know. And the reason we, you know, we just don't like that. You know, that's basically the reason as to why we don't go along with this is because that's like, ugh, you know, goodness, like that's love.
Yeah.
I don't see
I'm
me.
Too selfish.
Where's
to do
the
that?
Me word in that? You know, there's no, it's just that I get to lay down my life. Like, what about me?
Yeah.
You know, I got to do me, right?
Right.
It's like, it's always the talk, you know.
Yeah.
Where's me time in that? You know.
It's not there.
Yeah, it's not there. And then, you know, the big I guess talk about love, you know, famous section I should say, you know, is 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
See, this is ruined to me, this verse, cuz every time I see it, I think of weddings. And weddings are beautiful and great and all, but that's the only thing I attribute to now. It's like, "Oh, it's the wedding verse." Because everybody uses it. And then you think of it in the context of wedding, it's like, yeah, right. Like anybody's
wet
truly
blanket
loving
Mike
this.
Coming in.
I know. I'm
ruining it.
Ruining it.
No.
They ruined it.
Ruined weddings.
Because you see it in secular weddings, and you're kind of like, come on.
Yep.
You don't know what this patient. Love means. This love is God kind. Love.
Yeah. No, it is. Yeah, that is interesting, though. That secular wedding, you know, yeah. non-Christian weddings use this, and right. it's like, why?
Yeah, this is the greatest definition of love you could probably find in history of mankind, and you want to attribute it to some marriage that's not even based on a relationship with God. I'm not saying everybody's. I mean, some people.
Yeah, we're talking about non-Christian.
Non-Christians weddings, using verses like this. It's kind of like they're just using the most loving verse you could find.
Yeah, it is strange.
I mean, is it good things for anybody? Oh, of course. You know, definitely.
Yeah.
So.
Starting off there, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude.
Well, you just shot down the argument of being selfish right there. Oh, like, it's gone. I mean, you just talked about being patient, kind, not envy and boast, not arrogant or rude.
Yeah.
Okay, you've lost your loving yourself.
Yeah.
It's over already.
Mm-hmm.
And we just started.
Yep.
We just began.
Yeah. Patient, you know, this word has to do with just sitting there and bearing something, you know, like how long can you bear someone? That's what love is. Well, that's completely non-self, right? That whole idea there, that was just a completely non-self has entirely to do with how much, you know, bearing of another person you can take. That's what that has to do with. But yeah, going on from there, it does not insist on its own way. Okay, self just got killed again. You know, like, how, if you're wanting to love yourself, you are insisting on your own way, right? You're looking for what you want or what I need right now. And love is selfless.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you, like, why would you first need to love yourself if love's selfless? That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It is not irritable or resentful. Well, you know, those two things, again, have to do with yourself. Like, well, this is what this makes me feel like, you know. Or I don't like that, so why are we doing that? Well, all those ideas need to go away.
Yeah.
You know, that's not of love to be doing those things. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And this is kind of the section there, you know, famous section on love that people are always talking about. And again, doesn't take into account, like, a wrong suffered, I think, is there for, like, resentful.
Yeah.
You know, we would think, like, well, that person harmed me, you know, by what they did.
Yeah.
And I'm hurt by that. Well, this is saying, like, that whole way of thinking isn't of love. Yeah. Because it's all self-focused, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so how does any of these describers, you know, make sense with love and self?
Mm-hmm. You
know, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Moving on to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So what's linked with love? Serving other people. Again, self not in here. Can't find it. You know, it's all about other people. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Again, love having to do with bearing other people.
Yep.
We're finding one another seems to be used quite a bit, but not finding self, you know. Going into Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So to live a life of love is how? How are we to do that? We are to do it as Christ loved us and he gave himself up for us.
Yeah.
This is what love is. And, you know, I don't know. I guess this isn't being taught enough, that this, you know, belief can sneak in, right? This teaching somehow sneaks in and, you know, convinces people that, yeah, you know, I need to love myself first before I can love others. Yeah. It's like, how did that sneak in? You know, how does that jibe with any of these verses that we've been going over? And, you know, we're going to continue to go through some more, but yeah, how does this make, how does that idea land if people, you know, I guess are supposedly supposed to know this, right? Yeah. If we're Christians, we're supposed to definitely know what love is.
Right.
Right. That's supposed to be like a central thing that we're doing, is loving others as Christ loved us. And, you know, I don't know why people don't know that.
Yeah, because I think we buy into this idea of love as this feeling. It's a feeling we have. Definitely. You know, it's mm-hmm. the, you just want to scream Jesus' name that I love him
mm-hmm.
without actually the sacrifice of what we must do because of that. Like, love is always kind of a commanding thing. Because Christ is saying, I'm the example. I showed you my example of love mm-hmm. by sacrificing myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says to us pretty much, which is like, we're going to go to Ephesians 5:25. This is kind of an example of that. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Mm-hmm. Once again, hey, I gave up my life for you. And now he's saying, okay, you have to treat your wives like I treated you. Mm-hmm. So you must sacrifice your lives for your wife.
Yeah.
And that's what we're being told here, is as Christ gave up his life to love others, we must do the same.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always an action involved with mm-hmm. this love, but I think we still get into love as the American sense of love of just like, I love you, my emotions mm-hmm. are there, I feel for you, I feel for my wife, mm-hmm. I feel for my kids, instead of understanding like, my love for my wife is unconditional, it's an action. It always is an action. It's something I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
If I sat back and didn't have a relationship with my wife and I didn't take care of her, I didn't provide for her, I never showed her any type of affection, I didn't do the take out the trash when she asks, you know, if mm-hmm. I never cared what she said, there's no love.
Yeah.
But then I said, I love you.
Yeah.
That means nothing.
Yeah.
It's just worthless
words. Yeah, what if you told her, I've got to first love myself before I can help you?
Yeah.
I wonder how that would go
over. I think that is said sometimes in this society, so it's not.
I hope not.
No, I think it is though.
Like
I think
that, people would say that. Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I imagine somebody.
I mean, you've heard that. You've heard that argument. Like, I need to take care of myself before I can take care of others.
Yeah.
So people are saying like, I need to go to the gym and take care mm-hmm. of my. You know, I need to work out, and I can't mm-hmm. take care of other people until I take care of myself.
Yep.
And I don't. I think.
I mean, that's when did Jesus do that? When was he like, you know, guys? I gotta do me right now, okay? Right. I'm gonna take like a little break, and I'm gonna spend some time, you know, hanging out.
There's a really nice island I saw when we were on the boat day, and I'm just gonna walk there because I don't need a boat.
I mean, I created this place; should be able to enjoy it, at least a little bit, you know.
See, I created this disciples. Island called Hawaii. I'm gonna head over there. That place is beautiful.
Yeah,
I'll be back in a couple years.
I'll be back, save you guys and everything, but you know. No, no way. No.
He pretty much showed up on this earth just to give up his life. Man. So, that sucks.
Yeah, I can't believe he did that. He must have not known what that verse
meant. That's why we're here, you know, to talk about this, is because he did something pretty awesome for all of us.
Yeah.
He sacrificed everything for, and it's interesting that that's like our job now, kind of, as like, okay, we are servants of Christ,
mm-hmm.
now go be my servant.
Yeah.
Go be my slave to the people, you know, care for others and love everybody mm-hmm. else. It's like you threw away that old. Yeah. The selfish side's gone.
Yeah.
Now we have to be this new person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, before, you know, he said, go therefore and make disciples. He's like, first, love yourselves, and then you guys can go and make disciples.
When you're done loving yourself, you got to spend a couple of years figuring out how to love yourself.
Yep.
Right. And then when you're ready, mm-hmm. when you're ready, you could come find me.
That's right.
That's what he said, right? Yep. It was something like that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? It was just the opposite of that.
Yep.
It was pretty much, follow me. Yep. And if you didn't, he just kept going. There was no waiting.
Oh, you got to bury your dad? Nope. Can't come. Sorry, guy. Right. You got to say goodbye to your family? Nope. Can't be my disciple. Sorry.
I mean, the rich young ruler. Like, it's like, you've done everything right except one thing. And the guy ends up walking away in shame.
Yeah.
He could even change the one thing. Yep. He wouldn't give up his riches.
Yeah.
So he loved his riches too much to follow Christ.
Yeah.
So even to the strictest amount, like we have to, love is an action. It always is.
Yep.
It cannot be, we can't narrow it down to this idea of a feeling, obviously, because there's no room for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely when concerning, like, commands and what you're supposed to be doing, this is definitely a verb, you know, being used there.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just nuts. I mean, how this could have got warped, you know, to mean that you gotta love yourself. Like, that's just the complete, you know, antithesis of what is being explained as being, you know, a Christian and stuff.
Well, I think it's
like
just
how you're supposed to live.
Yeah, the words are, we're too wrapped up into what we're taught in our English to understand what the Bible really teaches.
I think that's true. I think it kind of gets in the way.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah. Our view of love as being a feeling, being linked with, you know, romantic, you know, notions and stuff like that in popular culture, movies and whatnot.
And it's just hard to erase that from your mind.
Yeah, it is.
You just, it's a natural thing. It's kind of like when someone brings up the heart, the word the heart, you think of the, I think of, like, those feelings of your heart feelings.
Emotions.
The emotions
stuff.
Of it,
definitely.
And so it's hard to understand what it even means, like, scripturally, when it says the heart.
Yeah.
Because it does mean something completely different than what we're thinking
about. It's just the place of the inside person.
Yeah.
Like, all of who you are
is
the heart.
But we think of it as the love vessel.
Yeah.
The pumping love vessel. Then if it stopped beating, we would die. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah. And that's just kind of our way of interpreting, you know, love and stuff, and it is a problem.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're gonna kind of move on to maybe a negative verse that's kind of, you know, going after the whole love yourself thing. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. Ew.
Ooh.
Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Okay. Oh, well, I could keep reading, though. This is kind of interesting. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins, and lead them astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the list of terrible things to do, the first one was
lovers
of self. Okay, so the bad guys who they're supposed to avoid, like Christians who have kind of like, you know, a wolf in sheep's clothing type of people. So people who have come into the church and are causing all kinds of bad teaching and bad things happening, you know, leading people astray, you know, by whatever their passions, their desires are. Right, they kind of key into those things and then lead them astray.
Yeah,
and this is still common to this very day. But lovers of self. So we have found loving yourself. The only problem is, it's in a list of terrible things to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah, to the point where, what would the early church think about somebody saying, "I gotta love myself first"? or you really need to take care of yourself because you can't love anybody else, they would probably be pretty upset with those kind of statements.
Yeah.
Because right here, obviously, what this is Paul's writing, I believe. Paul would have been, he wouldn't be down with that at all.
Nope.
He would not like that talk.
Yep. Avoid these people.
Yeah.
You know, is what's said there. It's like,
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because how much do we actually avoid people who are in the church, who are in deep sin? You know, we tend to, and I don't know, that's always a hard one, because you do want to care and love for people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, sometimes somebody could become an individual who could be hurting the rest of the flock. And so obviously that's kind of what it's telling you, is to be careful. These people can do bad things, so we need to watch out for them. But we definitely don't want to, like, think it's okay. I think we could do that. We could be living a righteous life here, but then think this idea, like, oh, I need to love myself. Or, you know, you might be struggling with pride. We need to make sure, like, these sins are being addressed in our lives. And that we need to make sure we're sharing with each other so that, and we need to hold each other accountable so that one thing doesn't lead to another.
Yeah.
Because that's what can happen. If you start out with a lover of self, you're going to start loving money and caring for providing, and you're going to start becoming proud because you've done great things. You're going to be arrogant. You're going to start becoming, you know, ungrateful. It's just, it all kind of adds up. Usually it's either, you think of like the fruits of the Spirit. When you're reading those verses, there's also the part with the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit, similar to these type of things. And it's because we become so in love and caring about ourselves, we become super selfish and caring about all the wrong things, and we let the flesh kind of just take over, and we stop thinking about the things that are holy and righteous.
Yeah, not many, like, people who are very selfless are we like, man, they really went the wrong way because they were so selfless. It's like, wow, they really, you know, went down a bad path being so selfless.
You know, sometimes you kind of criticize them a little bit. Like, man, they're weird. You know, like people who are really selfless. You do a little bit because they're so different.
So different.
That weird. In a way, it's almost like a coveting, though. You're almost like...
Yeah, but yeah, it's like, not like...
Oh, you think you're so holy.
Yeah.
And that's... It's not really good of us to be criticizing people for actually trying to be righteous, you know, living a righteous life. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah. And it's not like it leads to, like, a bad thing they end up doing or anything.
Right.
For being so selfless. But, yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, it says to avoid such people, and he gives a reason, because they find people who are burdened with sins, right? And they lead them astray by whatever their desires are. And so these people are preying upon people who are in great need or have some serious problems. And these guys, these, you know, false people come in and steal them away. And so it is, you know, important to not let this creep in, you know, to your group and stuff. Kind of going on to there, back to the positive verses talking about love. Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do." 1 John 3:16, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." So again, this is how we know love, is that you're doing this.
Yeah.
Right? You're laying your life down for the brothers, for your fellow Christians. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love live in him? Right?
Right.
If you're not out there doing this, how can God's love live in you? Again, it's this pouring out type love, right? The idea here isn't that you're just kind of holding it all in for yourself.
Yeah.
The idea is that God's pouring love into you and you are pouring it out, you know, into other people. And so, again, it's that action mentality linked with the word love going on there.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Just a shout out to Dakota. Dakota's a friend of ours. He's the one who gave us this idea for this podcast. And we appreciate when people give us feedback and they like ask us questions. And he kind of wanted to see our view on this. It was something he thought was creeping into the church and he was concerned about. This idea of, you know, people who love themselves too much and not loving others enough. So I appreciate that. So we've been every week talking about this. Hey, if you have any questions, concerns, I'm stealing Nathan's line, by the way, just to get this through, because I'm kind of, you know, this is Nathan's fault. I'll just say that. It's all Nathan's
fault.
It's
100%.
So we said, we normally say, if you have any questions, concerns, or ideas regarding the podcast, please email us at biblicallogic@gmail.com. That's biblicallogic@gmail.com. There's a problem with that email.
Yeah.
We don't actually have an email called biblicallogic@gmail.com. We have, I'll say it in the correct terms, biblicallogic. Because when Nathan tried to get the email for Biblical Logic, they couldn't get it with two L's. So he just settled with biblical and then the word logic as the same L. So we only have one. We're probably going to have to create a new email account. And but so if you've emailed biblicallogic@gmail.com, we don't know who that's going to. It looks like nobody. For some reason, we can't get like a hold of that site. So that's wrong. That's why we probably have never received an email, because it's the wrong email. So
totally my fault.
So if you want to email us right now, it's actually at biblicallogic. I'll just say it.
That's logic. That's logic.
Because there's one L sharing the word biblical and logic.
Yep.
All right? Sharing, I think you get L. me here. Yep. Share the L.
Yep.
We're sharing because sharing is caring.
That's right. This is loving. That's how right. this word's working right
That's
now.
That's right. They're working together That's in right. synergy and love.
That's right. Yep.
In closeness.
Not keeping the L to themselves.
That's right.
Sharing it.
What a wonderful message.
That's right.
Of loving others.
That's right. Absolutely.
Instead of yourself, because it would have been very selfish for them to have their own L's. So anyway, yeah. Man. So it's biblical and then logic or ogic. That's what I'm saying. Biblical logic or biblica logic. Either way @gmail.com.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to our podcast. You know, share it with a friend. We see there was some good, you know, we have some, good star ratings on iTunes. We appreciate that. But we do want to hear from you. If you know, we if you don't like our podcast, if there's something we don't like, we're saying we don't like our links too long, I don't know.
Yeah,
you want to complain to us, please email us.
Please complain to us.
Please do. We really enjoy it. We'll try to talk, you know, we'll talk about the issues, and if we're wrong on something, please address it.
Yep,
we'd appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Have a good night.